Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of Free Kick. Today we are discussing the Port Adelaide Power in our next episode of the Clubs and Days series for 2026. With me I have our more than capable co-host Liam. Liam, how are you doing?
I'm feeling more than capable. I am feeling more than capable.
Always a pleasure to record an episode with you. I think, I feel like after last season, we got a bit of high competition to try and outdo each other on these episodes is the vibe that I get sometimes.
Look, so. We're not competitive at all, but we are slightly competitive and we do like to make sure we can get in as much analysis as possible. And look, Port Adelaide has been always a fascinating team for you and me to talk about because we've always felt like it's a bit of a statistical anomaly. But this year, completely changed. So finished 10th, 6-6 record, almost identical to the team you just heard about in our last Clubs and Days recording, which is Fremantle, in that they had one truly dreadful game kind of ruin their season and ruin their percentage, which was a 72-point loss to North Melbourne in round two. But beyond that, I'd say it's a season more of highs than it was of lows. They, at one point for 24 hours, held the record for the highest ever AFLW score with 108 points. They had their first two All-Australians picked in Matilda Schultz and Indy Tahoe. They had obviously Indy Tahoe as the leading goal kicker in the AFLW. They had Gemma Houghton kick, was the first person to kick 100 plus goals. It truly was a season of extremely high highs under Lauren Arnell, but that wasn't without some questions. The big question was points against. So as much as they were fourth for points scored across the competition, they were also third for average points against. And that kind of spoke to the way in which they did win and lose some of the games. They were one of the few sides that got points against Melbourne, but then also had, again, results like they did where they only scored 15 and allowed a massive score against North Melbourne. The big news, though, is Lauren Arnell out as coach, stepping down voluntarily after what had been maybe a slightly less successful season than 2024, but ultimately still one that had some positives. However, that does bring in a new coach. So they got Glenn Strawn, who was formerly at Carlton in both their AFLW and VFLW programs. And so it's going to be fascinating to see what kind of processes he brings. If you kind of look at the coaching program that he's come across from, Matthew Buck has previously, you know, that he'd coached underneath, had took a very inexperienced young but with a really fascinating midfield core of 22, 23, 24 year olds to the prelim finals last year alongside some really young bookends. I think that there's a fascinating possibility that Port Adelaide is that same team this year. And if we also want to talk new coaches, it would be remiss of me not to mention that, and this might be one of the first times we ever mentioned it, there is a new senior assistant coach, which is Aidan Yellen, who has the very important little factoid about him. He was the midfield coaches at the VFLW when Laura Gardner was killing it and scoring 180, hitting the highest ever AFLW scores of all time. So will be fascinating to see if that kind of fantasy dominance comes across.
That's probably my favourite tidbit I've heard this preseason. That's some good digging you found there, Liam.
I am nothing but competitive for a good little tidbit.
It's a fascinating summary I think you've given of Port there, just because, yeah, it is a lot more positive than I think it felt at the time. You know, when we were looking back last season, particularly early on, they were losing games to teams like West Coast and we were going, oh, well, they can't be any good. But as it turns out, West Coast were a finalist team and it was actually fair enough. It's very different looking back in hindsight and going, there's a lot of positives for the Power.
And it was a back end of the season that looked incredible. A great win against Hawthorn. One of the most competitive showdowns that we've seen in AFLW history, night game at Norwood, yeah. Which was, oh, was it maybe at Albert? I can't remember. It was an incredible game to watch, night match on a Friday, and it was a win for a hard-charging Port Adelaide team against an Adelaide team that had actually improved as the season had gone along. So I think it's going to be fascinating to see which side of Port Adelaide we get. We've always known them to be under Arnell a very high you know, meters gained per possession type team, high contest but low possession share, and very limited possessions in the back half particularly. So going to be fascinating to see what kind of changes come about this year.
Yeah, I think at their best, their ability to surge and just score in big bursts, like you mentioned that Hawthorn game, I remember Indy Tahoe just taking over that game. You know, at both halftime and three-quarter time, the Hawks had kind of closed the gap. And at the start of the third quarter, Tahoe comes out and kicks two goals in the first couple of minutes and then does it again after the third quarter, Siren. She kicks three goals in the first 5 minutes of the last to just take the game away. It truly incredible power when they want to score, they can just score so quickly.
I think that their marking inside 50 is their one word. Houghton and Tahoe, both absolutely elite at contested marking situations, also both quick in a straight line, which is really able to be exploited with, you know, only five defenders in the forward line from a center clearance. And that was what they looked to exploit to win last year. In terms of looking beyond just the coach who's coming in, I'd say the biggest piece to come across is Ellie Hampson, who brings now some premiership experience from her time in Queensland, and another body that can play both as a midfielder and as a half forward to add to Piper Window and Ash Woodland. And then a couple of defenders slash utilities in the draft. Sophie Eaton at pick 17, who is a, you know, 170 centimetre utility, but mainly played off halfback in the Sandful W. And then Olivia Crane, who, unsurprisingly with a name like that, is 180 centimetre tall key defender. So definitely looking to bolster their defensive stocks in the draft and then looking to add some premiership experience in free agency.
Yeah, no, it's definitely some interesting ins and outs there. But yeah, with a new coach, it's always interesting trying to figure out what the team is going to do. And there's never a better way to figure that out. There's never a better way to figure that out than from the players themselves. Willow had a chance to have a chat with Molly Brooksby over at the Port Adelaide team. And let's throw to that now.
Hello, everyone. And we are very, very lucky to have Port Adelaide star Molly Brooksby with us today. Molly, how's it going?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I am very well as well. We really appreciate you coming on. Port Adelaide, very exciting club. Big finals campaign in 2024. Didn't quite make the finals last year, but still a really exciting time at Port Adelaide. How's the group going heading into this new season?
Yeah, no, really good. Obviously, we've had lots of changes in the off season, but the girls are all really, really excited about it. And yeah, only good vibes so far at the club. So, yeah, it's been really exciting.
That's what we like to hear. And you mentioned the changes at the club. You've, of course, got a new coach in Glenn Strawn. How's it been working for him so far?
Yeah, really good. I know I can speak on behalf of the girls when I say that we've all enjoyed learning off of him and working with him. Yeah, he's a really good guy, and he obviously has a world of knowledge behind him. But, yeah, I guess just his... the way he coaches, he's very direct, like his communication is really clear. And yeah, he really likes to hold us all accountable, which I think is really good. But he is also there to assist us and help us achieve all our goals and that. And yeah, then overall, he's just, yeah, has developed a connection with each and every one of us, which has been really good.
That's wonderful to hear. And obviously, without giving too much away, what's he brought compared to your previous coach, Lauren and Arnell? You had a very unique game style that we were very fascinated by at free kick. Lots of kicking, lots of meters gained. How's Glenn come in? Has there been a huge amount of change? Is it a bit of a tweak on the game style? What can you tell us at this stage about what's happening with Port this year?
Yeah, obviously can't reveal all our secrets. But yeah, there's definitely been some changes to our game plan. Yeah, just continuing to work on our offense. Really attacking our offense to try and, you know, get score on the board and win games. But yeah, obviously in the past we've been a really good contested team, so we're not shying away from that. We're going to keep being a good contested team, and then from that attack our offense and then kind of just build our defense around that to hopefully make sure that we're in offense as much as possible to get as many scores on the board and wins on the board as well.
Yeah, of course. And you say you're working on your offense, which is probably worrying for the rest of the competition because you were pretty good at it last year. You had Indy Tahau who came in a bit of a dark horse, really, and took the competition by storm last year, kicked a lot of goals to win the league. leading goal kicker award, and of course Gemma Houghton, who scored 100th. So that must be pretty exciting, given you were already a very offensive side.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, with the Indy and Gemma, we've got two weapons up there, but yeah, the rest of our forwards as well, like, we've got a very, very strong forward line. So yeah, we just want to make sure that we're getting it to them as much as possible, because we know that once they work their magic, yeah, we'll be getting scores on the board, and we have full faith in them and their abilities. So yeah.
Nice. And I do have to ask, how much did you enjoy celebrating Gemma Houghton's 100th goal last year?
Oh yeah, that was unreal. That was, she planned that to a T, you know, last minute and all. But yeah, a great accomplishment for her, and really cool in general for the whole comp to have a player finally reach 100 goals. And yeah, just so fortunate to share that special moment with her.
Well, it sounds like hopefully she'll be kicking 100 more goals this season, so that's exciting. One of the other players who I'm quite interested to hear about in the forward line is someone who we've previously interviewed when they're at Brisbane, which is Ellie Hampson, a really interesting forward. What's she brought to the squad so far, and I guess is she likely to slot in alongside those two?
Yeah, so far she's been training so well on the track. She brings like intensity, like she's such a hard ball getter. But yeah, the intensity and the standards that she brings is next to none. And then like sort of off field and that, just like her positivity, her energy, like she's just a really good team player, always willing to help out others. So yeah, she brings really good energy, which we absolutely loved, because you want lots of people around the club that are going to bring good energy. But yeah, and then the way that she leads the way and attacks the ball was, yeah, really good for everyone else to lift the standards as well.
That's fantastic to hear. And you've also got a few young players in that front half who didn't quite get to see the best of last year. Lauren Young's obviously one that we're very excited to see get to her full potential and full fitness, but also Piper Window and Caitlin Wendland. How are those sorts of players tracking, and are they looking to be fit for the start of the season?
Yeah, they're looking very good. Loza, I mean, yesterday at training, Loza absolutely tore the house down. So she's looking super strong, super fit, and her skill and just her decision-making, like, so it's just elite. Like, yeah, her intensity has been really, really good. And, I mean, she's looking very dangerous this year for sure. And the same with the likes of Piper. And, yeah, Wendland, like, attacking her rehab and that. So, yeah, I mean, they're all three of them are looking very, very strong. And I'm so excited to see how they go this season.
Yeah, you must be having a good fun coming up against them at training, I assume. It must be a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah, no, it's tricky. It's definitely hard, because obviously they're really strong players and good players. Like, they're fast, explosive, and they've got good skill as well. But so it can be tricky sometimes. You know, they're beating me in contests, but at the end of the day, that's going to help me get better as well. So thankful for that in a way.
Yeah, you've got perfect players to learn off, and that's probably a good transition to the players that really do matter, which is the defenders such as yourself. Really solid, you know, developing back line, yourself and players like Shan Hammond. Seems like a really strong group that's really building something. Ella Heads also came across from the Swans, for example. Can you give us a bit of insight into that backline group and how you're sort of preparing for the season ahead?
Yeah, well, we say the backline is the best, but I'm obviously a bit biased.
I think it is.
But no, as a group, like, we gel really, really well. And with our backline coach, Sam Virgo, she's also really, really good, and really we bombard her sometimes with so many questions, but she always has an answer for us and helps guide us. But I think, yeah, just our connection and our ability to learn off of each other and sort of identify that each of us have different strengths, and together we're a little unit, and that's what makes us work. So, yeah, so much exciting talent in our back line, and super fortunate that Hetzy came over last year. So she's been an absolute weapon for us.
Yeah, sounds incredible. And we've also got arguably the most exciting young player in the competition in Matilda Schultz. Has she been taking any hangers over you at training as well?
Yeah, she definitely gives us a few bruises, that's for sure. yeah, she's definitely one of a kind. But yeah, she's the way that she's progressed in her development over the past few years has been amazing. And she just continues to keep attacking the ball and attacking everything on the track and in the gym and that. And she's, yeah, just like, she's super strong, super fit at the moment. Yeah, and I'm very lucky to have her on my team, that's for sure.
I can imagine. It must be very fun to watch her take hangers over the other people rather than yourself. But yeah, what an exciting player. And you've got so many great players in that midfield as well. Love watching Sinead Goody, Abby Dowrick as well. So must be really exciting to know that you've got a young group that can really go forward and push towards finals and be successful.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's super, super exciting. Like, obviously, we've had heaps of young talent come through the past few years. And I think, like, being an expansion team previously, we've been labelled as sort of young and exciting, but we're kind of hoping to adopt this year, you know, like, we're no longer young and exciting, you know, we're smart, we're tougher, resilient players, you know, we've got experience underneath our belt. And yeah, it's to show sort of the comp how strong we can really be.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's absolutely no reason why Port Adelaide can't be right in the pointy end of the season. We might leave it there, but before we go, we do love to ask a question of who do you reckon is absolutely tearing the house down and looks set for like a massive breakout year next year?
I reckon Lozzy Young.
Oh, yeah? That's exciting to hear. We're very much waiting to see the best of Lauren Young. That knee injury at the start was such a disappointment, but I think Lauren Young can really make such a huge impact for you.
Yeah, 100%. I think she'll be very, very exciting to watch this year, and I think her development will, go through the roof.
Wonderful. Well, good luck for the rest of the season. Thank you so much for coming on, and we really appreciate your time.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. Welcome back, everyone. Apologies about the audio quality there. It was probably a little bit of a rough one just on the internet quality connection, unfortunately, but we've done our best to clean that up and hopefully it sounds all right on the other end. Liam, what did you take away from that interview?
Some changes to the game plan. Obviously, in the past, we've been a really good contested team, but those are the two sound grabs that I really took from that interview. It was a very tight-lipped Molly Brooksby, very media trained. That was very well done. Mm-hmm. Didn't give a lot away about what will change under the new coach, but I took those words about, obviously, in the past, we've been a really good contested team, as they are looking to try and add on another layer, which is better uncontested ball movement, better work outside of stoppage. Don't rely on stoppage to try and win games.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I heard the same thing. I think it's so interesting because, as you mentioned before, the statistical anomaly that they are has really made them such a dour fantasy scoring team, and they're a team with so much potential. So I don't know. I feel like this is a team where if they just return to the mean fantasy scoring situation that every other team seems to do, we're going to have a lot of fantasy relevance this year coming from Port Adelaide.
I could not agree with you more. If I'm allowed, I might just go straight to my number one most fantasy relevant.
Please
and
do.
That is one of the two All-Australian rucks in Matilda Schultz. She will be very expensive, second most expensive ruck in the game. But I just think that if anyone is going to take her game to another level, it is Schultzy. We're going to be transitioning to rules that give more power to the leaping rucks. I can't imagine a ruck that gets up higher each and every centre bounce than Matilda Schultz. I expect more points from CBAs from her. She was battling multiple broken fingers last year, which led to some frustrating cases of cymbal hands trying to take some marks around the ground. I think that if she has only one broken finger, maybe she adds another 4, 5, 6 points to her average. And that shows, because even in the back 5 games of last year, she had 100 average. So that's 5 points of value on what would be a very premium pick in your team, but I just think she's elite. She's super young still, but has the world is her oyster, both footy sense and fantasy sense. I think that this is an absolute walk-up pick.
Yeah, no, couldn't agree more. I feel like in terms of athletic rucks, there are a few that can go with her around the league, and when she has it her way, she can just dominate games in a way that very few others can. So I'm a big fan of this pick.
And if you wanted a sign of how dominant she can be, it's a stat that I pulled. There was no ruck that had a higher score involvement percentage than Matilda Schultz. It was like 40%.
Yeah, that's just ridiculous.
The next highest was 26%. 14 percentage points higher than than the next best ruck for score involvement percentage, which tells you how important she is, how likely it is that even with a slight shift away from contested game plan, Matilda Schultz will be at the center of what Port Adelaide do this season, next season, for the next 5-10 seasons. She is just going to be vital. I think she's an absolute superstar fantasy-wise too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. How about your second pick here?
It's another player that I think will massively benefit from a game plan that can emphasise maybe some marks in transition. It's Abby Dowrick, priced at an 87.5. We know that she's got a tackling game. She is a massive kick, but also has a very natural sense of space, but just doesn't get hit up for marks, would often be kicked over, and also, to be honest, thrown forward in a bit of a surprising move. I think that a full-time preseason playing in the midfield, we know that she has a 95-plus average in her, at least in my opinion. Did that in the final five games of last year, 95.3 average. I think that her combination of elite kicking, good enough marking, and a great tackle game in a team that she will be comfortably the best tackler, I think, when it comes down to it. I think she has an all-round fantasy game. I think this is a 95 averaging player. She's comfortably someone that you could pick to break out into that, you know, tier two of fantasy midfielder. Maybe not at 100 plus yet, but I don't think she's going to be far off.
Yeah. I think as well, she's one of the more consistent players in that Port team. You know, there's a lot of players that are quite up and down, but she seems to be reliably hitting the at least 75 plus, if not 80 plus, most weeks. So it's a very handy player to have in your team. And if she just bumps that up a little bit through the game plan, then that's the sort of player I like having in your team. You just don't have to worry about it.
Had a couple of games of below 40% CBAs, and that led to some 60s, which pulls down that average from what I ultimately think should have been a 90 plus last year to just that 87.5. I think that there's just some inbuilt you're only playing midfield value in there. Before you include the, there might be some game plan shifts that give more points just to everyone across the board because of an increased reliance or increased use of short kicks, of 45s, of marks in transition. Same goes for Ella Heads, who is my third. I'm just going to take over hosting role for just a second. This is someone who has been able to take, you know, near double-digit marks multiple times when she was playing across halfback for Sydney. I think that her size, kicking, marking, profile is exactly the type of player that will benefit from a more Carlton-oriented game plan. I think that even priced at 65, this is another potential 70-plus averaging defender if given that full-time half-back role. Spent some time on the wing earlier in the season, spent also a game in the midfield tagging Jazz Garner in truly one of the most bizarre tagging choices. We talked about Georgia Stathis a couple of weeks ago, surprising us as a tagger. I don't think anyone had Ella Heads tagged as an inside midfielder who's going to run tagging jobs on elite midfielders.
Certainly not
in the
on
competition.
My bucket list.
I just think that this is another pick that you make on the basis that the game plan will shift away from transition. I think she is their best halfback. I think she will benefit and up her average by 5 points plus.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And definitely if they do start to move it on the outside more, like if you look at her numbers, the marks really dictate how she goes. So the more ball that's on the outside, absolutely you can see how important that's going to be.
Well, that also steals my next stat, which is if you want to talk about differences in scoring, Shanae Goody, when she has 0, 1, or 2 marks across her career, averages 53. She has 5 or more, which she's done 4 times, she averages 91. Shanae Goody's going to be priced at 62 this year. And if we want to talk elite pedigree, like it's like Lauren Young and Shanae Goody. And I even think that Shanae Goody might be even better because she did it without being injured, with just being an elite scorer. She did it at the Sample W level as well. I think that this is someone who could be ultimately in 2 years a top 10 scorer in the competition. I don't know what role she's going to get played in a new team. I felt like the move to her inside didn't necessarily benefit her in the Lauren Arnell game plan as an inside CBA midfielder, which she was for the most of the season. But I just think she has such a natural footballing brain such a natural fantasy game too. I think that there's an uber elite scorer in there somewhere. It's just if this game plan can unlock it.
Yeah, yeah, no, I fully agree. I think she's probably the player that I'm most excited about at Port Adelaide. I just think the type of player she could be, and I don't even think, like, some players you worry, are they actually able to translate it to the higher level, you know, and that's sort of the sticking point. But yeah, I think there's been a couple games in her two seasons the AFL. There was one in 2024 where I think she got 120 points because she had the 22 touches and the 11 marks. Like, when the game goes her way, it really goes her way. So for someone priced at 60, where they can go these 100 plus scores, that's a lot of value just sitting there.
I think the reason why she's a little bit lower in my list, and I hope you can agree, is just a bit more of an unknown. I feel like it more needs to go her way in the game plan, to unlock those 80 plus scores. I would be a little bit trepidatious about being too strong in saying, yep, this is a guarantee. This is 20 points value straight up. She can become their, you know, third best scorer behind Dowrick and Schultz. But I won't be shocked if she ultimately is the best scorer at Port Adelaide in a couple of seasons. She just has that all-round game. She's so tough as well for being someone who's not very tall. Maybe the thing that brings her down is getting suspended, because I also won't be shocked if that happens. She does love a bit of biff.
Yeah, that and a free kick against, for sure.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. I'm a big fan of pick number four. How about your final pick, pick number five?
Pick number five, look, I'll just say that there was a player that I probably could have picked, but I decided I would leave it for Jono to have as his host special. So at five, I've gone with Piper Window. Priced at 47.4, but only played the three games last year and had 76 and 71 when she was uninjured. Another player that comes in with elite pedigree. This is all players from the same draft class for Port Adelaide. Won a Sample W Best and Fairest in her final year. Just has the all-round game again. I think the biggest question on Window is role. She's clearly got the kind of shoulder width to mean that she's played more as a forward in her career so far than as a CBA mid. And maybe she's someone who has benefited in her scoring from the previous game style. We haven't seen her play as much as a transition footballer as we have from the kind of other players from that draft class at Port Adelaide. I'll be fascinated to see what she can do, if it is a more free-flowing, mark-heavy, less tackles, less high meters gained. But I think that if particularly she's a forward priced at 47, like at this stage we don't know, I think it would be right on the cusp, really tough to tell what position she'll play. As a forward, she becomes very pickable. Maybe not the most exciting option, but given the price point and a natural fantasy footballer, at least a very natural tackler, that can again always set the floor. That's kind of what we're looking for in the forward line. Set the floor at a decent level and not worry about it. I think Piper Window could be that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think this is probably the first player on this list where we're not really worried about game plan changes and whatnot. This is your traditional easy value baked into the price. Yeah, I'm a big fan. You are going to be triggering a lot of people, though, here who had to cop the seven.
Me too. Don't worry.
And like, the cheap fracture for yourself as well. You got the double whammy there.
Yeah, it's look, it was certainly a tough one. I had almost forgotten about it until I was writing these lists and went, oh, damn, that was a rough game. That was against Brisbane, I reckon. Yeah, that was certainly not a game to be remembered. But hey, you know, the season turned out pretty well for us both fantasy-wise. Even with Piper Window,
even with the mishaps,
that's fine.
Yeah, yeah, you gotta play through these things, and sometimes things go your way. Well, I appreciate you leaving me this final player, and definitely not forgetting about her altogether, and having me write the notes. So don't worry about that at all. The host special is going to be Lauren Young, who, along with Sinead Goody, is one of the unheralded superstars with the junior numbers that every single draftee wishes they had. Lauren Young has had so many injuries to start her career, unfortunately, but has just gone through her first full proper off-season, fit as a fiddle. So I think this is, for someone who really only got the four games last season and who was coming back off a lot of knee troubles, I think that she was mostly just getting a feel for the game again. That's sort of what it looked like out there for me. It was playing as a quite a deep forward role as a result. But I think with a bit of a preseason under a belt, full fitness, we're going to see a very, very different Lauren Young coming out in 2026. There's been plenty of careers that we've seen where, you know, they start a little bit hampered and you kind of go, oh, who are they? You know, are they really this highly touted player? So someone like a Montana Ham, who had a lot of injuries early and then has come out last season and just proven to be a superstar. Even Ash Central last year, who only had, the four games where everyone was going, oh, is this really Ash Central? And then, wow, immediately came out to be brilliant in the middle of the season. So I think Lauren Young is definitely one who is priced incredibly cheaply for the quality she can deliver. And I'll be very strongly watching her in those practice games to see if I can fit her into my side.
I think the advantage for Lauren Young is price point, because she only played those four games and only had, you know, one score above 50 with a 53. I think that's going to be the thing that benefits you. You can probably fit her in at the back end of your forward line. It's going to be fascinating to see how a new coach tries to fit in Houghton, Tahoe, Young, Hampson, who we haven't really talked about, who could also be a fantasy breakout, Window, Ash Woodland, Caitlin Wendland, who is coming back from injury, who looked like a really crafty and very neat user of the football, kind of not the crash and bash that they have a lot of the rest in their forward line. How are they going to fit all of those players on the park? Is someone going to be pushed into wing? Is someone going to be spending more time in the midfield? I don't know the answer. And I don't know if we've seen the best from Lauren Young, because partly when she scored best was playing as a hybrid half forward, high up the ground, lots of marks, lots of goals. Still a very capable player in the midfield too. I don't know what it's going to look like. And yeah. I'm actually interested to watch this year, because I feel like I'm going to be watching a scalpel in Port Adelaide, not so much a sledgehammer anymore. And that's good football in my mind. I want to watch some more scalpel football.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a great problem for Glenn Strawn to have. And I guess having just figured that out at Carlton, honestly, I feel like that's a pretty handy test run to be doing just before you take that same problem on at the Port Adelaide Power.
100%.
I think that's going to do us for today's episode. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening along. Obviously, you can find out more information on our website, our Substack, over at Free Kick. So have a look out for that for a more in-depth view of the Port Adelaide Power. Otherwise, thank you very much. We'll catch you next time.
See ya.